What's going on, everybody? This is Black Men Sundays. I'm your host, Corey Sylvester Murray, and we're talking about generational wealth, finance, business, and mental health. And today, I have a treat for you. It's a Black Men Sunday. Time to put all childish things away. I refuse to be the man I was yesterday. Gotta put my best foot forward and elevate. Do you have a business? Are you trying to start a business? Do you need to learn how to market your business? Do you have any marketing skills? If not, this is the show for you. We're speaking with John Dwyer, aka JD. Listen, he got up at 7 in the morning. Well, he had to get up before that with that nice shirt on. But he got up early to come on Black Men Sundays. We record our show at 4:15 Eastern Time on Sundays, hence the name Black Men Sundays. He got up early. But we're going to learn some lessons from this brother today. And let me just run a little bit of his resume to let you know who we're dealing with. He's a big deal. He's the owner of the Institute of Wow. We're going to learn about what that is. He's worked with Michael Jordan. He's worked with Disney. He's worked with KFC. He's worked with Warner Brothers. He's worked with Steven Spielberg. He's worked with Seinfeld. So we're going to infuse those stories with some marketing tips and tactics. But first off, John Dwyer, coming all the way from Australia on Black Men Sundays. Brother, how you doing? Good morning.
Good stuff, Corey. And what an intro. I want to meet that guy. He sounds like he's got half a clue.
Definitely. And you know, one thing about it is on Black Men Sundays, our show is about generational wealth, finance, and business. But a lot of times people tell me, well, can we learn some marketing? You know, I have a business, or I may have a startup business, but I really am not good at marketing. I'm trying tips from people or from companies that I see working. So I'll let you take it away from there. But, you know, before you do, I definitely want you to let's start off with the Institute of Wow.
Corey, I guess with a business called that, it's no surprise that we're into wow factor stuff. And most business owners who, you know, might be very good technicians, they might be a good dentist, they might be a good, you know, plumber, they might be a good architect, a good builder. But when they went through college, no one taught them how to get a customer. They came out with a degree in dental, if you like, or electricians or whatever it may be, but nobody's ever taught them how to get a customer. So that's what we do. We provide our marketing services to businesses, and hence the reason why, you know, I guess the name is called the Institute of Wow.com. We teach them how to wow their customers and take their eyes off the price. The last thing that you want to do in business is be, unless you are Costco, of course, or Kmart, but other than that, the last thing you want to do is build your business on price discounts. You don't want to go down that path.
So if I'm just starting out with the owning of business, and I don't really know anything about marketing, what advice would you give? Where, okay, I have an Instagram page, I have all the social media platforms, I have a website, I have a few customers, but generally, you know, I'm starting up a business, so a lot of my customers are friends, family, people that are just really trying to support me. But if I want to level up and get to the level where, you know, I'm dealing with the Warner Brothers, I'm dealing with the Michael Jordan, I'm dealing with a Seinfeld, how do you get started to even step into that arena?
Yeah, great question. And you know, the crazy part about it, the answer to that is really, really simple. And that is, if I've got a sore tooth, I go to a dentist. If my car is not working properly, I go to a car mechanic. The tragedy for most businesses is that they know they need marketing help, but they try and do it themselves. And so therefore they think they're smarter than Mark Zuckerberg and they're going to win in that Facebook game. And they're not, unless they go to someone who's been doing it for a little while. And I know that sounds self-serving because that's what we are. You know, we provide consultancy when it comes to marketing. But forget whether it's me or anyone else. The thing is that it is a science. People back in the day used to say, oh, 50% of my marketing is wasted. I just wish I knew which 50%. Well, that doesn't exist anymore because of Facebook and TikTok and Instagram and so forth. You are able to be measure your response, your ROI, the next day. So we see a lot of clients, until they knock on our door, are wasting a lot of money on social media because they don't know how to use it. So what I would suggest to anyone who's, you know, in the business, owns a business, is that they look for professional help, because at the end of the day, it's no different from if you've got a sore tooth, you go to a dentist. If you want more customers, then go to a marketing expert. The tragedy is most of them charge a fortune, and most of them are 23 and are still using pimple cream. So, When you get to my age, baby boomer age, then of course it's easy to I guess criticize the younger ones. But I always say to people, if you were going to get a heart transplant, would you look for the 23-year-old doctor, or would you go with the guy that's in his 50s or 60s that's done it in his sleep? I think you might go for the guy that's got more experience. And that's it. Yeah, Corey, I would say, you know, look for an expert.
Great information. And doing my research on you, I saw you have some marketing strategies, which I thought were interesting, the direct response marketing and incentive-based attraction marketing. I thought those were, you know, that's, I feel like that's trending, because on a lot of the businesses, you know, that's what they're doing. They're offering an incentive in addition to what you're receiving, which, you know, these days I'm kind of starting to get a little older. I feel like those aren't incentives, because when I was a kid, that Happy Meal was like $2.99. So that Happy Meal is overcharged, and our toys were better quality. But let's dig a little deeper and let's talk about some of your marketing techniques, specifically the ones that I mentioned.
Corey, the thing is that if you go to a traditional, a conventional advertising agency or marketing agency, they probably will tell you, as a business owner, look, we're going to help you build your brand so that people, we're going to help you get people to fall in love with your brand so that they will taste your product. And that's fine if you're Toyota or your McDonald's or your Kellogg's or your Nike, because you can get people to fall in love with your brand through lots of sponsorships and so forth. And then eventually people will taste your product. But for a small business, you don't have deep pockets like that. You can't afford to just put your product or your face on the side of a bus or the back of a taxi, and or sponsor for that matter the Lakers, and hope that over time, you know, people will fall in love with your brand and then they'll taste your product. So what we help you do is flip that. We help you get them to taste your product so that they'll fall in love with your brand. So that would be, you know, giving out calamari samples outside the seafood shop so that people would taste it and fall in love with that and come inside and spend, you know, more money on fish. And the way that we do that, generally speaking, is through social media and through incentives. You know, McDonald's have been doing the Happy Meal toy for, I don't know, 44 years. Kellogg's, about the same time, have been putting toys in the bottom of the box. Dunkin' Donuts do it in the US. Amazon do it through their Prime membership. If you become a member of Prime membership with Amazon, you get special privileges. And that's what's called incentive-based marketing. But you know that 97% of businesses worldwide have never, ever given away an incentive. The crazy thing is that the cafe down the road from you gives you a little membership card, and when you get 9 stamps, you get the 10th coffee for free. They are doing it, but 97% of businesses in America, in Australia, in England, right around the world have never used an incentive. So what we show them is how you use an incentive. That was, I'm going to name drop here, but that was the Seinfeld campaign.
Gotcha. Definitely. And let's dive a little bit in, you know, because you do, I mean, you have some great stories to tell. So let's talk a little bit. I mean, you segued into it. Let's talk about the Seinfeld campaign, how you were able to contact him. And let's just talk about that experience, especially from a marketing perspective.
Thank you. I'm sorry for Corey for dropping the name so early in the interview, but anyway, I've milked the daylights out of that for 10 years, by the way. Yeah, so what that was is that I had a client. That client was a bank down under. In fact, a building society, but the same thing. And they were taking on the big banks down under on price. So they would come on television or social media and promote that you could get a home loan for, let's say, 5.8%. Now, the Bank of America or the Wells Fargo Bank or the equivalent in Australia would beat that in a heartbeat, because they were a giant, you know, 40-ton gorilla. And I said to this, you know, smaller bank, the Greater Building Society, I mean, when I say small, they were still the 200th biggest business in Australia. So they weren't your corner store, but they weren't as big as the Bank of America or, you know, Wells Fargo. I said, look, you guys are on drugs. I mean, I don't know how you think you're going to beat the big guy on price. It'd be like a little, you know, corner store taking on Kmart. Then on price, they're not going to win. And they said, well, what do we do? I said, you've got to think outside the square. If you're a challenger brand, then you challenge. And they said, well, what do we do? I said, well, you know, how about you do this? I was doing some TV commercials at the time for a travel discount company. And I said, why don't I introduce you to them? And you stop the 1% honeymoon rate for the first 12 months. And now in America and Australia and England, when you go to get a home loan, they will give you a 1% break, or they call a honeymoon rate, for the first 12 months to get you on board. And then, of course, it goes back up to whatever the interest rate should have been. And I said, why don't you get rid of that? Because every other bank's doing it. There's nothing unique about that. There's no wow factor to it. Why don't you give that 1% to the travel company and they'll give you a $10,000 vacation for 5? And that's what we did. So we came on television for 3 years. This is prior to Seinfeld. And we just said, swap your home loan from the big nasty banks that charge you, you know, a lot of interest and they charge you for services. Swap across to this nice friendly bank, the Greater Building Society, and we'll give you a free vacation. And the thing went nuts, absolutely crazy. They took an extra $15 billion, not million, but billion dollars worth of home loans in the first 2 years. This idiot who you're talking to forgot to do a door deal. I just charged a consultancy fee, so I'm an idiot. And then about 3 years into it, when we'd scooped up what we call the low-lying fruit, we picked up a lot of new customers, we went one step further. And so therefore, I got Jerry Seinfeld to become the spokesman. Now, I make it sound easy. It wasn't. It was 6 months worth of going backwards and forwards and dealing with George Shapiro, his manager. And eventually Jerry said yes. And so for the next 3 years, I spent a good amount of time in New York going backwards and forwards and doing all the TV commercials. And Jerry would come on TV down under and social media and said, swap your home loan, you know, to this bank and you get a free vacation. It went nuts. It went absolutely crazy. So he's a lovely guy to work with. And he's, yeah, he was exactly like you see on the TV. He was down to earth. But of course, having a name like Seinfeld and giving away a vacation, you can imagine you put those two wow factors together. Every other bank was very disappointed that we pulled that off.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Because I was going to say that's interesting how you did that. And that kind of leads to my next question. Digging in that Seinfeld conversation. So people that are in the U.S. that, you know, want a better marketability overseas, how would you assist in, you know, establishing that relationship? If, okay, domestically, we have a pretty good client base, but we need some marketing overseas, especially, you know, if you're trying to market to a region that you've never been to or have any experience in, like, what advice would you give about that?
Well, we're a classic example of that because we're down under, but about a third of our work comes from America. And that's just the world we live in now. It's a global village in courtesy of social media. It doesn't matter where we are. So, you know, we have a promotion as a result of that particular campaign, get a home loan, get a free vacation. We were contacted just before COVID by a travel company, and they said, listen, you guys look like you have, you know, half a clue when it comes to marketing. We've got access to unsold rooms, hotel and resort rooms in America and right around the world. Would you like to join forces with us? And we'll share the revenue whereby we provide businesses with vacations to Vegas and New York and you know, Grand Canyon, Cancun, San Diego, Yosemite, all around America. We provide vacations for 3 to 7 nights that are worth $1,000 or more, and we give them to businesses to use as a Happy Meal toy for less than $50. And so they look like this, Exhibit A. So what we do is that when this company contacted us, but they contacted us on the back of the Seinfeld success, and they said, you know, do you want to, you know, join forces? I said, absolutely. So that's what we do in America. We have a website which is called vacationsincentive.com. And if anyone goes there, they'll see that we normally sell these for $97. But for any podcast, we always cut it in half. And what happens is that businesses have a Happy Meal toy on steroids, because if you asked anyone, it doesn't matter whether they're in Australia or England or Europe or America, what would be the, you know, most powerful incentive to get them to purchase something, it wouldn't be a $50 dining voucher because they know that that costs $50. It wouldn't be a movie ticket to the cinema because they know that would be $50. If you said to them, we can give you a 3 to 7 night vacation and you can go to Vegas or New York or Orlando and it's worth $1,000 to $1,500, I think they'll pick that every day of the week. But the big difference is the actual vacation voucher costs the business less than $50, but it's valued at $1,000 or more. And that's the reason the McDonald's thing works. That toy cost them 22 cents to make in China, but it looks like it's a $5 toy in Kmart. So if I could just say to everybody, if you're looking for an incentive, look for one that's a low cost to you, but a high perceived value. That's when you've got a powerful incentive.
Oh man, you didn't come to play. I'm glad you're up early. So let's touch into the other technique. Let's talk about the direct response marketing strategy. I think that's interesting.
Yeah, good. And it's stupid me, Corey. I should have touched on that before I moved into incentives, because the incentive side of marketing is really a part of direct response. So direct response is getting people off the fence by making sure that you offer them something outside of price discounting that will get them off the fence by 5 o'clock tomorrow. Okay, so you know, we're very big on deadlines. If you're going to, you know, have a special offer, that makes sure that not only is it good, like the one I've just mentioned to you, but also that you put a deadline on it. Because look, all of us, you know, I mean, I've got six children, they're growing up now, they've got their own lives, but nonetheless, we're still pretty busy because those six, my nickname with the six children is ATM. So they come home every now and again with their hand out. So my life as a parent is pretty busy, and you know, I'm working as well, so that's busy. If you want my attention, you can get it. But if you want me to act on that, then you better give me a deadline, because I'll find, you know, there'll be distraction, and everyone's the same. So what we say is that, look, there's five components to direct response marketing. Now, direct response marketing is very different from just your overall brand building. Okay, there's nothing wrong with building a brand, but if you don't have the same money or marketing budget as Nike or Kellogg's, then, you know, you don't want to be wasting money with your face on the side of a bus. You want to be putting money into Facebook or Instagram or one of the social media platforms and getting a return tomorrow. So the five components are: number one, highlight your target audience's problem. Number two, aggravate that problem. Number three, provide the solution. That's normally you or your product. Number four, provide proof, which is normally testimonials. And then number five, a strong CTA, what we call CTA. That's call to action. So the best example of that I could give you would be, take the bank. You know, the bank, we came on TV and Jerry Seinfeld said, are you unhappy with your bank? So we highlighted the problem. Most people are. Number two, provide the aggravate that problem. Well, if you're unhappy, then you're probably still going to be unhappy in a month's time. Number three, provide the solution. Swap to the Greater Building Society. You get a free vacation. Simple. And you don't have to pay any of those bank fees that you are with the big banks. Number four, provide proof. We had testimonial after testimonial after testimonial of people just coming to the front door of the house and looking at the camera and saying, we swapped from the Wells Fargo Bank across to the Greater and we got a free vacation and better service. And then number five, a strong call to action. And that is ring at, in that particular area, ring 131386. But I can still remember the phone number and you get yourself a free vacation. So it's basically problem solution marketing. It, direct response, and I know it sounds corny to refer to the morning infomercials, but you know, the George Foreman barbecue and all of that stuff in the morning TV ads, that's direct response. Now, it's probably ugly direct response because you see it on TV every morning and it goes for 3 minutes and they go on and on and on. But that is direct response. It doesn't have to be ugly. We do direct response for the Hilton Hotel. And our direct response for the Hilton Hotel here in Australia is we will pick you up from the airport. If you stay 5 nights, we will pick you up from the airport in a limousine and we'll bring you to the hotel. We'll give you a high tea, which is a special breakfast, and we'll give you tickets to the movies. Now, that's not Kmart. That's upmarket. So direct response can absolutely work for BMW as well as it can work for Toyota.
Great information. And let's talk about AI, because I feel like AI, a lot of people are using ChatGPT, different other AI software, where they say, well, why would I need to consult with JD when I can just go to ChatGPT, basically give them my website, give them a synopsis of my business, and I can say, help me market my business. So are you using that in your business as well? And what would you say to those naysayers that say, well, I'll just have chat or AI do my marketing for me?
Yep. And look, no, ChatGPT is my best buddy. And I'm sure I speak for you, Corey, is that you wonder now, what did you do before this came along? We had to roll up our sleeves and do a lot of this stuff ourselves. Look, ChatGPT is, all of them, Gemini, the whole lot of them is absolutely brilliant. And boy, does it speed things up. But its creativity is limited to how good your prompt is. And I think we all know that if you put rubbish in, then you're not going to get as good a result. It is fantastic. I'll tell you how we're using AI is that this book of mine, I know if you're listening, you won't see it, but on the video version, it's called The Avalanche Leads Formula. And so therefore, most of the businesses that we deal with are after leads. They're okay at converting because they say to me, look, John, get us leads, because we can convert once we get the leads. And that's no surprise. I mean, if you are not converting, then you may as well go and get a job, because if you can't convert on a warm lead for your business, then you shouldn't be in business, okay? Now, I'm not saying convert 100%, but if you're not getting a one in 3 or 1 in 5 or 1 in 8 hit rate, then yeah, you might have to look at whether or not you should go and get a job. So our specialty is mainly on getting a lot of leads. And the reason the book was called The Avalanche Leads is that, you know, we do get a lot of leads because I've come from a contest background. So down under here in Australia, I produced all the scratch bingos for Rupert Murdoch's newspapers, the Monopoly style promotion for McDonald's, for KFC, for 7-Eleven and BP gas stations. I've been around, you know, there's a few wrinkles here, so I've been around the block a few times. So we know how to run a contest. And the concept that I'm about to give you now, if anybody who's watching or listening this implements this, you don't have to use us, you can just implement this, there's a pretty good chance it'll double or triple your business overnight. Okay, and I mean overnight. Corey, I'm being a bit of a tease here, but that's a good enough drum roll, isn't it, leading into this idea? We call it the contest leads machine. And what it is that you run a contest on Facebook or any other platform, but let's just pick Facebook, and you run the contest and give away your product or your service as the prize. Now, whoever enters that contest clearly is interested in your product or service, okay? If it was a 12-month membership in a stamp collecting club, then you know the only people who would be entering that would be stamp collectors, okay? If it happened to be win 1 month's worth of lawn mowing because you're a lawn mowing company, the only people who would enter that would be people who have a front yard and a backyard. If you live in an apartment, I don't think you want to win a lawn mowing service for a month. So that's what this is. And we're talking about running, you know, the numbers for this are stupid. They're insane. They're avalanche. So we had a dentist, for example, here in Australia, and this was a couple of months before Christmas. He said to me, John, I want to sell more Invisalign braces to children. He said, that's my specialty. Now, these invisible braces are normally $5,000 or $6,000. He gets them for about a third of that, so he's got good margin. So we ran a contest in the rich suburbs, okay, of this particular area. So therefore, it was a rich zip code. And we said, how would you like to win Invisalign braces for your children? So rich parents were looking at this. He spent $30 a day, a very modest fee, okay, investment, $30 a day. He got 1,000 leads in the first week. We're not talking 10 or 20 or 50 leads, which everyone would be happy with. We're talking avalanche leads, 991, but let's just say 1,000 for argument's sake, at $30 a day. That's 7 times 30, that's $200, and he got 1,000 leads that week. Now, he could not keep up with getting back to those leads. The way that we do this is that there is it runs for a month, and there's a preliminary draw every Friday. And this is the clever part. You can only enter this contest once when you see it on Facebook. And the Friday of that particular week, there's a preliminary draw where one person gets drawn out, and that one person will be one of four people drawn on a Friday throughout the 4 weeks who will be in the grand draw. But if you've entered in week one and you don't get chosen in that preliminary draw on Friday, you can't enter again. So that then allows the business to contact those people who entered in week one, the whole 1,000 of them, to say, look, you didn't win, you can't enter again, but we've got some good news for you. If you obviously entered this because your children's got crooked teeth, you wouldn't actually enter to win Invisalign braces if your children had, you know, the Osmond's teeth. And so therefore we got a special deal. If you get in by Friday, not only will we give you a special deal on the, you know, the price, but also we'll give you a free vacation to go to Vegas, New York, Disney World, wherever you want to go. Shut the gate, it's all over. Now, he could not get to 1,000 people in a week, so we put the AI robot onto that. And his girl was closing when she rang the first 50. She was closing 11%. The robot closed 17%.
Wow, that's fabulous information. And at that point right there, I'm going to pause, and I'm going to let some of my brothers engage with you. All right, fellas, the stage is open.
Well, hey, JD, thanks for coming on the show. Once again, thanks for waking up early and being dedicated to come on the show and share your information with us. Everything you said so far is very interesting. I actually want to delve like a little bit into your, your personal history, if you don't mind. How did you actually get into marketing in the first place? Was that the plan? Yeah, was that the plan?
There's no plan. My wife will tell you that I've got the attention span of a goldfish, so there was no plan. Yeah, so 1,000 years ago, back in the 1800s, when I was in my early 20s, I was pretty good at drawing. So therefore, I thought to myself, oh, I might pursue a a career path in advertising and, drawing. And then I woke up to myself that little did we know many decades later that AI would come along. But I could see computers were coming along. I thought, no, look, that's silly. You know, drawing's not going to be what it used to be. And so I did an advertising degree at university. So that's what I did in my early days. And when I popped out of that, yeah, I was lucky enough to get a couple of promotional jobs in big shopping centres, big shopping malls. And so therefore, I was able to have a look at how the retailers were getting people into their shops. And then at the age of, 24, 25, I just set up my own business, and it was called the Dynamic Ideas Company. The acronym for that was not good, DIC, but anyway, it was called the Dynamic Ideas Company. I was not thinking. And we provided a lot of the, nowhere near as sophisticated as these days because Facebook wasn't around, but we provided businesses with ways to, get people into their business. So, for example, if it was a car dealership, we would run a $1 million promotion whereby they would letterbox drop the zip codes around the car dealership, and it would be that they had the opportunity to win $1 million if they came in and had a test drive in the car. Because let's face it, nobody buys a car without doing a test drive. So what happens is that we would get the insurance for $1 million for 22. We would insure the $1 million prize. And I don't know whether you guys are familiar with this, but who wants to be a millionaire? TV network doesn't give any of that money. That's given away by Lloyd's of London. Yeah, so we would get $1 million for about 22 grand, and then we would absolutely slam these car dealerships with gazillions of people coming in and taking test drives, and of course they sold more cars. And what happened is that when we did that, because it was a big thinking idea, all of a sudden the floodgates opened, and we were being contacted by all sorts of businesses, not just car dealerships, to do the same thing for them. And that's how it all kicked off. Yeah. So these days, obviously, with social media, it is so much easier to get an avalanche response than it was back in the old days. Because in the old days, we had magazines, TV, radio, or letterbox brochures. And they're still around, don't get me wrong. It's just that they're not as cost effective as social media is, if you know how to use social media.
So what did it take for you to just decide to step out on your own and begin that company?
Oh, because I was an idiot, mainly because I've got no brains. Because I had no clue how hard this was going to be. And look, don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm sitting here boasting about, Seinfeld and all this, but typical entrepreneur, I've had my roller coaster ride like everyone. And I think my wife wishes we were on the merry-go-round more often than the roller coaster because it doesn't have as many dips. But anyway, right. So... yeah, we've had an interesting roller coaster ride, like all entrepreneurs. But the good thing is that when you reach this age, and I'm well into my 60s now, so therefore when you reach that age, you've pretty much made every possible mistake, and you think to yourself, I can't make any more mistakes, and that's not the truth. Of course, you still do make mistakes, but because you've made so many, then you can when we're giving, like for example, this. Anyone wants to have a look at it, just go and have a squiz. Squiz is an Australian term for look, by the way. Go and have a squiz at it. It's basically, the URL is contestleadsmachine.com. So if you go and have a look at that, you'll see that it's a very, very simple premise. Give away your product or your prize as a contest, and then you will attract bees to your honeypot that are only interested in your product or prize. If you do that, then of course, guess what? You've got a bucket load of leads that you didn't have, and you can continue. It's scalable. So the thing is that in the world that we live in now, courtesy of social media, if you come up with a winner of an idea, like this contest leads machine thing, we have not had a failure, okay? So therefore, if you ask me about the vacation thing, was there any failures? I'll say, well, yeah, people put it in their desk drawer and don't use it. Or they get their daughter-in-law, who's a web designer, to put the landing page together, and they do it. They get them to jump through too many hoops. The reason it worked for the Seinfeld campaign, it was 9 words, get a home loan and get a free vacation. That's it. Every time the bank would say to me, oh, let's get them to open up a couple of savings accounts. Let's get them to jump through some hoops to get the vacation. No. McDonald's, buy a Happy Meal, get a toy. Buy 2 Happy Meals, get 2 toys, right? Keep it simple. Keep it really, really simple. Get a home loan and get a free vacation. And that's my view, is that, we give these things sometimes to businesses and they screw it up. In the instance of the contest.leadsmachine.com. We have not had a failure. This thing just continues to pump out anywhere between 100 and 1,000 leads a week for $20 a day. Like, it's just insane.
Wow, that is incredible. You know, all through this conversation, you've been really talking about what I'm thinking about is kind of like fundamental methods of marketing, right? Do those methods really change, or do they change? And the question I'm trying to formulate is, have they changed over time based on technological advancement? So in other words, you know, we've had the internet come along, we've had social media come along, now we have ChatGPT coming along, probably some more advances in technology. Have those advances in technology changed the fundamentals of marketing methods, or do those marketing methods still stay the same despite the technological?
Yeah, great question. Exactly the same. Exactly the same. Nothing has changed. I mean, creativity will always win. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all it's done, it's made cost per lead cheaper. I'm B2B, okay? So I'm selling my services to businesses. And that's mm-hmm. tough because that's a smaller audience than B2C. So therefore, you know, B2C is so much easier because the decision maker doesn't have to go to a committee meeting, doesn't have to sit on it and put it through the research department for a month before they give you money. Whereas I can run a campaign for consumers and, you know, because the man or the lady who's making the decision doesn't have to go through a committee or any of those things that slow everything down, you can get a result very, very quickly. That's why when I mentioned, you know, I mean, I'll give you an example. In that contest formula, we had a guy just before Christmas knock on our door and he said, look, I've got wheelie walkers and they're the walking frames for people, you know, who are elderly. In fact, he insulted me by asking, did I want to do a contra? So therefore I told him I hoped he died in his sleep that night. But anyway, So we ran the contest. These are people in their 70s and 80s. And we said, look, how would you like to win an $850 wheelie walker? You know, the walking frame things. And to my surprise, he spent $40 a day. So therefore he upped the ante. Big deal, $40 a day on Facebook. He got 822 leads in the first week. 822 leads. And we tracked them what time they entered. So we found that these people in their 70s and 80s were entering at 1 o'clock in the morning. I mean, God knows what they were doing at 1 o'clock in the morning to still be up. But anyway, so therefore 822 leads. Now to get 822 leads in conventional marketing, it would have been the same idea. It would have been in the newspaper. There would have been an ad that says, how would you like to win a Willy Walker? There would have been massive wastage because that newspaper goes to young people as well as old people. And it goes mm-hmm. perhaps into zip codes that you, if it was a throwaway over the fence on a Wednesday afternoon newspaper, it goes into zip codes that you probably didn't want to go in. In this instance, we could actually laser target the people in their 70s and 80s and also laser target their children who are in their 40s or 50s. And he got 822 leads in a week. That would have taken him 6 to 12 months to get 822 leads with conventional communications back in the old days.
Wow, that's incredible. So you can do a lot more with technological advancement now than you used to be able to
do. But even without technical, I mean, we had a cafe company come to us and they had 32 cafes around Australia. They weren't Starbucks by any means, but they were a reasonable brand in their own world. And they said, look, we're selling a lot of club sandwiches and hamburgers, but we want to sell more coffee because there's good margin in the coffee. And as we all know, they make the coffee for 50 cents and they sell it to you and me for $5 or $6 these days. So anyway, I said, okay, fair enough. So let me think about it. And I came back to him a week later. And all we did, I said to him, change all your coffee cups. In other words, your crockery. And he said, well, I'm not going to do that. I said, yeah, I think you might when you hear the idea. And the idea was that the bottom of a coffee cup, when you come to the end of it, normally there's no message at the bottom of the coffee cup. So we just put a message at the bottom of the coffee cup, which said, go on, you know you want a second cup. And we came up with about 15 of those messages, or should I say ChatGPT did. And so therefore, sarcastically, at the bottom of the coffee cup, we said, you know you need more caffeine, or you know you need a second cup. His average coffee sales, as in cups of coffee with people going to the cafe, went from 7,000 to 19,000 a week. And across 32 cafes, that's quite a few dollars, okay? that was no technology. It was just a clever idea. And it was an idea that's, I mean, it's a bit like the red and green lights in the shopping malls. I mean, what were we doing for all these years? I mean, we only came up with red and green lights in the car park of the shopping center about 5 or 6 years ago. We put man on the moon in 69. What have we been smoking for 50 years? That's the most simplest idea.
Very true.
I mean, you know, the other one that intrigues me, guys, is the wheels on the luggage. Do you know that it was an American Airlines pilot that went home to his garage one night, sick of dragging his bags around the air, in 1980, and he put wheels on his luggage, and the rest is history. Again, Neil Armstrong, 1969. What were we doing between then and 1980? We hadn't come up with wheels on luggage.
I mean, you really think about it, that should have been like the second thing they put on the luggage once they invented the luggage. Like, oh, we need wheels for this. The wheels bit was like the first invention, right? I get, and this would be my last question for you. Then I'll let you go. You know, just talking to you, it seems like you have just like a peculiar insight for these kind of things. Like your mind works in a different way. For instance, when you said with the coffee cups, you said, "Well, let me think about it for a while," and you came back with this idea. What do you think is your greatest skill or greatest talent as a marketing professional and or businessman?
Look, I think that X factor, I mean, you've either got the X factor for whatever career path you're in, or you don't. And if you don't, then what you should do is subscribe to whoever has got that and make sure you steal everything you possibly can from them. Because if you are not creative, and let's face it, everybody knows whether they are or not, then yeah, hang around people who are. You know, that Jim Rowan comment from many, many years ago, and that is, you are the average of the five people you hang around with. I mean, that is the truth, isn't it? You know, if you are, you know, hanging around with drug dealers, the chances are you're going to become a drug dealer. That's the way it is. And I think probably, yeah, without patting myself on the back too much, I have a peculiar sort of skill there whereby I will think of the way to market things, you know, quite differently from the norm. And I guess that's why it's called we call it the Institute of Wow. And I have to tell you, I have to show off and give you this one because you'll get a laugh out of this. Little country town. My wife and myself moved out of Sydney. We had just a couple of little kids, and then we moved to a little country town, a little bit like Andy Griffith's Mayberry. Anyone under the age of 50 or something won't know what I'm talking about, but the Andy Griffith show that I grew up on, you know, with TV, with Ronnie Howard being the little boy, was you'd be familiar. I mean, you guys are younger than me, younger, but you know the Andy Griffith show, don't you?
Yeah. My mother-in-law watches it religiously still.
There you go. Okay. So therefore, this little town that we went to, it was in Australia, and a little town called Gloucester, and it had the little main street, just like a typical country town. And as it turned out, there was a girl, a woman who owned a hairdressing salon, and she'd had it exclusive to town, the only hairdressing salon for like 100 years. And my wife came home one day and she said, after picking all the young kids up from school, and she said, look, Kimberly asked, could you help her? And I said, oh, go on. Here goes another freebie. She said, Kimberly owns a hair salon. And she's had the business for X number of years, never any competition. Another hairdresser has just opened up across the road from her, the first competition she's had forever, and they're giving away men's haircuts for $10. And she said she's lost a lot of her men, most of the men, because men will get their haircut at the butcher, they don't care, right? So therefore, they all went across the road and getting their haircut from this lady. And what she was worried about was that the wives of these husbands would eventually move across the road as well. And that's where she made the money out of women, because they'll spend $100, $200 on the hair. And I said, oh, okay, another freebie, just my luck. Thanks, Gail. You know, that's my wife's name. Thanks, Gail, for, you know, landing this one for me. So I thought about it for a couple of days, and then I went to Kimberly. I said, I think we've got the fix for this. And she said, what is it? And I pulled out of the back of my car a sandwich board, and we put that sandwich board outside her hairdressing salon. And within 3 days, she got every single one of the men back again. And that sandwich board said, we fix $10 haircuts.
I like that. That's really clever. I like that a lot. That's a good idea. Oh, man. Well, I definitely appreciate you taking time to speak with us. I have thoroughly enjoyed this conversation. I'll probably listen to it back just to get some tips on marketing, some more, you know, get more a comprehensive understanding on marketing. So I definitely really appreciate you taking the time with us. And I'll hand it back to Corey. Thank you.
John Dwyer, JD, man, you enjoying yourself on Black Men Sundays?
Mate, it's a great fun. You guys seem to be a little cheeky, and so I fit in pretty well.
Yeah, man, you know, we like to have a good time. We like to get the information. and our listeners like to receive it as well. And you gave a lot of information. So for, you know, any listener that wants to contact you, how can they do that?
Okie dokie. So therefore, I'm just the reason I referred to the wall on occasions, and I don't want to be rude, but I turned around like that, was just to confirm the actual URL for that contest ID. Let me just give you 1 second. It is, yes. So it's contestleadsmachine.com. If they wanted to swipe it, go in there with my blessing and swipe the idea. However, I never get my car serviced by myself. I always take it to the mechanic. So if you've got a sore tooth, go to a dentist. So if you want us to do it for you, you can have a look at that. So that's contestleadsmachine.com. And if you were looking at the vacation promotion, just go to vacationsincentive.com. So that's plural, vacationsincentive.com. And if you wanted to have a look at my website, it's theinstituteofwow.com, theinstituteofwow.com. And if anyone wants some, I'm going to give something away for free here. As he turns around with Exhibit A, another book that I wrote some years ago is The Wow Manifesto. Now, this book, if you're listening and not watching, is the size of a tabloid newspaper, and it's 295 pages. I can't give you the book because it costs $400 to print each one of these. It's a pretty big book, leather bound, gold tipped edges and the whole thing. But I can give you the digital version of this for free if you just want to email me. Okay, I'm more than happy to give this to you for free. It's packed with case study after case study after case study. I didn't put the ones that didn't work in there. I've only put the ones that worked in there, okay, the campaigns that worked. So if you want this book for free, just give me an email at john@theinstituteofwow.com. So that's J-O-H-N, john@theinstituteofwow.com. And I'll give you this Wow Manifesto, which is you've got hundreds and hundreds of case studies in there you can steal. And look, the thing is that where my audience tends to fall are businesses that don't have an in-house marketing department. So therefore, because obviously if they've got an in-house marketing department, then I'm Dr. Evil. They don't want me to be anywhere near their business because I'm going to say to them, you're wasting money on sponsorships, right? But if the business doesn't have an in-house marketing department, then yeah, they are the ones that knock on my door because they don't have the skills and they don't want to spend the time learning them themselves. They just want it done. They just say to me, look, give me 1,000 leads a week and I'm happy.
Perfect. Well, that sounds good, man. Well, I think that wraps it up, man. You were very comprehensive, very informative, gave us some instant strategies that we can use today, or some people may wait till tomorrow, but I'm going to be using the strategies while they're sleeping. So I appreciate you. I appreciate your time. Thanks for coming on Black Man Sundays and enjoy your day.
My pleasure, Corey. And can I leave you with this? I want to ask you, do you know what they're going to call Bob the Builder when he retires?
No.
Bob.
Okay. That's a good one there. I've never heard that. I'm going to have to add that to the books.
Well, that's a good point, right?
Now you know why I don't have many friends. Okay, dad jokes killed all my friends.
Definitely. Well, enjoy your day because it's just getting started.
Thanks, buddy. All the best, guys. It's a Black Man Sunday.